but it's time for another round of racing and rocking with Dragless.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Wright. And in the right lane, John the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rocking with Dragless.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's so great to be with you tonight. And tonight, so excited. Took a couple times to get her on. We had some rescheduling stuff going on. But Mia Tedesco, the NHRA Mellow Yellow Super Gas Champion, and number 8 in the world for Top Alcohol Dragster, number 1 in Lucas North Central region and top alcohol dragster. This young lady is on fire. Mia Tedesco, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
So thrilled to have you on. And I was, Twitter was going, it was a Twitter storm. I thought it was the White House out there today. There were so many tweets because Mia was like, Lucas was retweeting and Geiger and all kinds of stuff. And Mia herself. So really, really great on that social media support. But tell us about, we have to walk through a couple of championships here, but I guess the big one is Supergas, the first woman ever to win the Supergas World Championship. Walk us through that season.
For sure, yeah. I'm so blessed. I'd like to say that, it's something that I planned for. It was a goal, last winter I was like, I'm going to try to win the championship and have a great year, but it wasn't like that at all. I actually have been struggling so much going back and forth from the super gas car to the alcohol car. So I pretty much spent all winter last winter just trying to visualize things, slow things down, get mentally right and mentally focused, as well as physically training at my sister's gym. But just trying to get everything straight there. And then we came out and just started rolling, and every race seemed to be going our way, win the races you're not supposed to, and such tough competitors and doing well, and it really just worked out in our favor.
It's really great. And it's difficult enough to race either one of these cars and to keep your head in the game and block everything else out when you're on the starting line, right? But holy cow, you're doing it in two completely different combinations. That's when you get in the cockpit, not for nothing, trying to run around and jump in one and jump in the other. What was it like trying to race both types of cars? Did you ever race them on the same weekend at the same race where you had to zip around?
Oh yeah, no, I raced them at the same weekend at the same race every week, pretty much.
Wow.
There was a few races where it did get crazy. Charlotte, I lost in the finals of super gas and the semis and alcohol, so it was jumping back and forth. And St. Louis is actually the craziest one because I won the race in alcohol, but I semi'd in super gas, and that race they try to do in 2 days, so they just start cycling you and round robining you pretty quickly.
Right.
And
right.
At some point they just said, "All right, come on both." I'm like, "I can't come on both." They called both at the same time, and I was like, "All right." So I ran, got in my alcohol stuff. I made the run. Somebody was waiting for me at the end of the track, rode me back, got in my super gas car, made the run. It was crazy, but I like being busy. I like moving around like that.
Oh man, you got it. Top alcohol dragster and super gas, so the lanes flee. So Mia had to go to the front and straddle one of the lines, right? Is that what you had to do? I'm here,
yeah,
both cars.
At that point, it's just I feel bad because I feel like I'm slowing up the race and holding everybody up. So I just try to do, the best I can to accommodate the track and for accommodating me, and just try to figure out what's best for everybody to keep the show going. But it does get difficult, but I like it because it just keeps your mind clear. You don't have time to think about anything. You just know you have to drive, and whatever car you're in, you have to drive that car and do the best you can. And there's no time to think about, I need to do this and that, and then you just drive, and I seem to have better luck that way.
So great. Well, what about your fellow competitors when you raced in Supergas this year? Did anybody say, man, I can't believe woman is actually, you know, beating us in this thing. Because I guess Top Fuel and Funny Car, yeah, everybody's like beyond that now. Pro Stock Motorcycle, and of course Pro Stock Car. But I mean, this is the last bastion, right? They're supercast. And did anybody mention that to you?
I'm just so used to running men. It's actually weird for me to run a female. It's like, oh, I'm running a girl. Like, I never run girls. So normal for me to run a guy. But yeah, I don't know what everybody's thinking. I guess everybody's mad, but I like it. I like doing things that girls have never done. I usually make that a goal of mine. Every goal I have right now is something a female has never done. I didn't know at the beginning of the season that a girl has never won a Super Dash Championship, so that was pretty awesome to do. But, yeah, it's just, you can't really let that get to your head. It's just, it is what it is, and, you know, do your best.
Yeah, that makes us say, go do the work and let the record keepers do the record. That's what, you know, you got this right. You're nailing it. So tell us a little bit about running at Top Alcohol Dragster. One of the, you know, there's no easy division, right? We know that's true. But the regional, Michigan, Ohio, oh my gosh, Indiana, Illinois, killer cars. And you took that region away, man. Tell us about running that big 280 mile an hour Lucas Oil Dragster.
Oh yeah, I love running alcohol. Is so much fun. Running alcohol and super gas actually together is a rush because they're just so different, and so different driving, so different feeling. There's everything. They're completely different, so it always keeps you thinking, keeps you on your toes. But alcohol is fun. I honestly, coming into the season, having the season I did last year, we finished fourth in the world last year. We won the region. It was a great year. It was my first full season. I was happy with it. We were hoping to, you know, do something similar, you know, maybe do better, but we had, you know, pretty good goals. But coming into the season, I mean, it's tough. Like you said, to win the region after having the season we had, I mean, we won three races. We won back-to-back. I think it was St. Louis and Columbus. But we didn't even qualify at one of the regionals.
Wow.
Norwalk, I think there was like 20 cars or like 24 cars or something crazy, and it's an 8-car field. It was the biggest regional I've ever been to, and we struggled there, and we didn't qualify. So at that point, I think it was a really, big regrouping moment for our team, and we came together and just threw it behind us, and it turned out to work out really well.
That's really great, because that is a tough category. I mean, there's no easy ones anymore, but everybody's running 520s at 280. If you had the right combination at the right weekend, you know, you got to be on your game, because everybody's got the parts. Everybody, you know, most folks have the knowledge. It's just a matter of putting it together on race day, and wow.
Yeah, there's literally nobody. There's nobody in the class, in either one of the classes. I'm like, oh, thank gosh, I have to run them. Nobody, you can't take anybody lightly. Everybody has, you know, the great equipment, great tune-ups, great everything. I mean, there's no easy pick anywhere.
Right. That's you got to get the old guys like me and John to remember stuff like that. I mean, it used to be that way, and every now and then someone would get a wild, you know, upset, you know, if the champ would go up and smoke or something. But that's, you know, when you got, holy cow, even Top Fuel cars are tighter than old pro stock fields. I mean, it's a crazy sport anymore, and you're making it happen.
Yeah, it definitely keeps it interesting. I like it. If the competition wasn't tough, I mean, I feel like the tougher the competition, the better you are to overcome it. So I like it that way. I don't know. The easiest thing for me is just not worry about who's in the other lane. Half the time, I can't tell you who I ran, not just out of ignorance, just because I don't want to psych myself out or think too much about it. So half the time after I run, you know, whoever I raced or beat comes up to me and says, good. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't pay attention to that. I just run my race and do the best I can. I don't pay attention to who it is.
Well, great. You've learned a lesson it takes a whole lot of racers many, many decades to learn, and you got that nailed down. That's awesome. Well, yeah. Tell us about the turning point in this regional championship, one world championship. Tell us the turning point in both of those efforts. When did you start thinking you might win this doggone thing?
Well, in Supergas, I didn't know I won the region when I locked it up. I think I locked up the region in Bowling Green. I wasn't really paying attention to it. I honestly didn't really pay attention to the points at all until later in the season, just because that's been a big thing in our pit. It's just, don't pay attention to it. Don't worry about it. The numbers will fall how they fall. they'll let it psych you out. So I never paid attention to it. And of course, you know, Jason Lynch, who runs our team, and Krusty, who is our crew chief, they're just studying numbers all season, and I'm not paying any attention to it. After I won Chicago in July, I think is when I took over the lead. And from that point on, I never gave the lead back up.
And wow.
The only part that I really paid attention to was what I had to do to better. And that would be my goal for the next race. Like, okay, I have to win this round to better and get more points. So I would just pay attention to that. And after July, every single race I went to, I bettered except one. So every race I went to, I got more points. And that was my goal, which is really hard to do because I think I was bettering, like, I had to win, like, three or four rounds at divisionals, and it was getting tough. So, but somehow I managed to do that. And towards the end of the season, when I was leading, I was leading for a while, and I realized that in order for me to lose, like, somebody would have to win two races in a row. Mm-hmm. So it became more real there because I know it's difficult to just win one race, let alone two, but I never really celebrated or got excited until it was actually over.
Oh, that's smart.
It was definitely stressful leaving it for that long, and because even if you don't want to pay attention to it, everybody brings it up. Everybody says something.
Sure.
People were calling me champ in August.
Oh, no, scary.
Not even close to being over. I don't want to think about it. I'm just going to race and have fun, and that's what I did, and the results followed.
I've seen a couple recent examples of where that's probably happened, and folks shouldn't have. You know, one of them happened yesterday. Let's talk about you mentioned a couple of the guys on the crew. Obviously, the guy who runs the thing, Jason, and your crew chief. Tell us about the folks you'd like to thank this year. Here's a little opportunity to send some shout outs out there.
For sure. My family, my parents, of course, have backed me and supported me throughout this whole journey that started when I was 17. My senior year of high school, I basically stopped going and did everything from home because I was traveling so much, and my mom wasn't exactly happy about that because I did really well in school and was accepted into college and was planning on being a pharmacist and doing this awesome career and dropped it all to go racing. So for her to support me is pretty awesome, and my father as well. Jason Lynch, he runs our team and pretty much got me started in this whole thing. I crashed my car when I was 17, and when we were in Georgia, and he lent me his to race, and I won a $10,000 back race a week later in it, and that's pretty much how we teamed up from there on out, and he guided me and trained me to be what I am now. Krusty, we call him Krusty because his name's also Jason, so it just gets confusing. He drives my rig everywhere, works on our cars, makes sure everything's perfect up to par, you know, pays attention to everything, so he's a big part of our team. And then my sponsors, of course, Cars Protection Plus, VP Racing Fuels, Lucas Oil, Hoosier, Quick Fuel, Wilkerson, and Abruzzi. They all are
awesome.
Huge part in our success.
You bet. Awesome. Yeah, although Bruzy was on our... Well, we've had almost all those guys. Lucas, and I'm proud to have the Lucases on, and Forrest and Morgan, and Abruzzi was on a little bit ago. It's a cool group. Well, tell us about a little bit of the road stories this year. Tell us about the most fun, the most miserable, and the craziest time you had in 2016.
Let's see. I'd have to say the most fun would be winning my first national event. That's been a goal. I've been racing Supergrass for a while, and like I said, I've been struggling a lot. I'm struggling a lot going from Supergrass to alcohol and trying to figure out the transition and just do well in both. And to finally win a national event, that's been my goal for, I feel like, 4 years now. Just win a national event. To finally do that was so satisfying, amazing, and to tie it off to have that champ, like that win of that race tied to a championship season is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to say that was probably the happiest, most fun time this year. Most miserable. I don't know if I have a most miserable story because any time there's a bad time or you know, a crazy time. We just try to turn it around. We don't let it bring us down just because that's the kind of vibe we try to have around our pit. But I mean, I'd say the probably most crazy time was an Indy points meet. There was a tornado watch, and I think a tornado touched down on Sunday night, and it started raining like crazy, and it made everybody hide in the tunnel for like an hour until the tornado watch was gone. That was crazy. And then they finished the race the following weekend, but that was a crazy time. I've never had a tornado watch at a race before.
that's a new one on me. I had one actually. I drove home from Dragway 42 in Ohio one time, but never at the races. That's wild.
Yeah, that was insane.
So great. Well, let's see. So, and I tell you what, you just nailing this thing so hard. I mean, you talked about trying to win a national event in 4 years. Think about the guys and gals who've tried for 40 years, you know, and
right.
never did it. You're really making it happen. And when you think about Supergas, oh my gosh, I mean, how many cars do they typically have? I always see them at Indy when I go, and there are about hundreds of them. They probably have to limit them now at national events, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they limit them to, it depends on the national event, but I'd say average around 65 per event. But there's such a wide variety of people and cars and competition everywhere you go. It is, I believe it's one of the toughest classes to win in. And when you look back and see the people who won the championship before me, and it's just incredible that the competition's out there and the level of dedication and just everything, you know, the level of how the cars run, and it's just such an, I don't even have words to say winning a championship. It's never something I thought I'd be able to say I did, but to finally be, you know, come to the realization that I've done it is just mind-blowing to me, especially being the first female
right.
in such a male-dominated sport. It just really shows that there aren't really any boundaries physically, you know, at all in the sport. It's just, you know, stay focused, stay dedicated, and really anything can happen.
Well, I tell you what, Mia Tedesco, you are making it happen, but I'm gonna make a little something different happen here, because I'm going to turn you over to John Bachleman, and we're going to ask some rocking questions now. John, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, BP. Miss Mia, we'd like to know what your favorite kind of music is.
Favorite kind of music? Country music, for sure.
Oh, great. Do you have a favorite artist that you listen to a lot?
No, I don't really have a favorite artist. I just listen to that genre and let it play throughout the day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, I get to hear country music once in a while. We play at a club in Texas City. I'm in Houston, and the sound system that they run there usually runs current country. And it's fascinating. It sounds a lot like rock and roll, but it's more, it's got a country flavor to it, you know?
Yeah.
Have you been to, seen any good shows lately?
I think the last country concert I've been to was Jason Aldean, but I don't get to go to many concerts just because I'm usually every weekend somewhere for racing, so it's a rare occasion if I do get to go.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the racing part. When you go to the races, if you ever have a song that gets stuck in your head that you think about when you're racing.
Yeah, there's always that annoying song that's just stuck in your head. But for racing, though, especially, I just try to completely clear my mind. I found that that's the way I perform the best, is just to have a completely blank mind. And I relate it to being like a robot and just completely mindless, because the more I think, the more I screw up, it seems. So I just try to not think about anything and do my thing, and then once the race is over, just pick back up where I left off.
I certainly understand.
Yeah. I'm better off just not thinking about anything, just trying to race.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, you know, you won in two of the most difficult categories in drag racing, and I can certainly understand that you'd want to clear your mind when you get out there, because I mean, Supergas, god dog, man, that's, I have a friend that races Supergas here, and he's been doing it for 30 years, and he still hasn't won an event yet, but he's out there trying, you know. And you kind of made it look easy. I tell you, you're natural, you've got what it takes.
I appreciate that. Yeah, Well, I guess God's blessed me. This is what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing right now. And then, like I said, all my sponsors before, you know, because of them, I have such great equipment. And, you know, my crew, Jason and Krusty, getting everything ready. It's a combination. It's such a individual but teamwork sport. It's hard to explain. When I try to explain drag racing to people, it's so individual because you're the one going down the track making the decisions, but then your team is making the decisions outside of the car, on your car, how to tune it. So it's just a combination sport that just really all the cars have to fall in the right place for you to win, and it really just has to be your day in order for you to win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Miss Tia, everything fell in place in 2016 as you nailed two different categories, two of the toughest categories in drag racing, and it's been such a pleasure to talk with you tonight, and thanks for spending a little bit of time with us and our listeners.
Of course, I appreciate the opportunity so much, and I'd be glad to come back anytime.
Well, that is an open invitation. We'll take you up on that because, you know, we got people we love, and we love to have them back, so... Please do. Race safely this year. Good luck, and we'll see you on down the road, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Mia Tedesco, NHRA's Mellow Yellow Super Gas Champion for 2016, number 8 in the world top alcohol dragster, but number 1 in the Lucas Oil North Central Region Series in top alcohol. What a fabulous young lady. Let's turn it over to John now, folks, for JB's take in this week's Racer of the Week. John, sir, take it away.
Thank you, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Michael Stanley from Youngstown, Ohio. Michael was recommended to me by our friends with the Dad's Old Fashioned Drag Racing Group, Don and Sandy Turner and Gordon Jenkins. Thanks, y'all. Michael is a very popular and successful racer in his region. He sent me some fascinating data on his hot rod. I'll pass it along now. He said, "We race our 1967 Camaro that was originally built in the 70s and 80s by my brother-in-law, Alan Peterson. Alan had muscular dystrophy, and he built the car from a wheelchair. I helped him finish it when I was 14 years old, and I actually raced the car when I was 15 years old before I had my driver's license. It originally had a 355 small block Chevy with a power glide and 557 gear, and it ran 1120s. Alan passed away in 1982, and we stored the car untouched for more than 30 years. After I got married and had a few kids, and then my son showed some interest, we decided to freshen the car. Well, what a silly idea. Over the next 6 to 7 years, the build got crazy and out of control money-wise, and I realized I was building a show car to race. With the help of Scotty Emerson at MSE Chassis Shop, which is Master Street Engineering. In the current day, our team is called M&M Extreme Motorsports, and we race and show our 1967 Outlaw Street Machine. It's all steel with a full interior 3,200-pound Camaro that has a round tube back half chassis with a Ford 9-inch narrow rear end and a 458 gear and 40 spline axles. Our transmission is an air-shifted turbo 400 3-speed. The transmission and converter were custom-built by Abruzzi Transmission in Warren, Ohio. Our motor is a 555 cubic inch big block Chevy with two kits of nitrous from Miners Performance in Lordstown, Ohio, and it makes almost 1,000 horsepower just on the motor. And with a 400 to 500 horsepower shot of nitrous juice, it makes for a lot of fun. To date, we've run a best of 5.23 in the eighth mile and 8.20s in the quarter. We're just starting to learn how to tune the progressive nitrous controller, and we know there is a lot more ET available. Mike said, "I couldn't do what I do without my super awesome family and team, my wife Sherry, my son Michael, sister, and in parentheses, it's Sis, Mom, the team cookie maker, my brother-in-law Tom, Dave Slaughter, and Joy Beganowski. It's a family fun time every time we go racing. We've had pretty much success and a great time racing with the Dad's Heads Up Run What You Brung racing series at Quaker City in Salem, Ohio. And we have won a few awards at the local car shows as well. I also crew and help tune on a pro mod team that races a local series as well as a few PDRA races, and thank you for selecting me as Racer of the Week. Michael Stanley, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. JB's take, always outstanding. And Michael Stanley, man, if you're from Youngstown or Cleveland, some of you guys up there remember a band called the Michael Stanley Band. It was the most popular band in town.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, man, is that the same cat? I don't know. Who knows? But cool stuff.
I don't think it is, but, you know, it's like I looked up, there's about 19 John Bachelmans on the internet, so and I'm just one of them.
Yeah, Michael Stanley and Bill Pratt, so you can find a slew of them on Google, too. Yeah. Thank you, John. Great stuff. Folks, let's take it back, just take it down just a little bit here. We do have some lost friends to remember this weekend. Found this out right over the weekend, actually. Drag boat racer Steve Wall, a very popular racer, passed away. So our condolences to his family and friends. And then somebody really close to home, one of the Pacers automotive guys, Otto A. Quialatin. He's an East Coast Drag Times Hall of Fame member, inventor, beloved member of the Pacers racing family. Was born in 1929 and just passed away on the 6th. So Otto, farewell, sir. Of course, you know, we know and love George and Scott Snizek and the team. See them everywhere we go here on the East Coast. And Otto, obviously a big part of that team. And Otto, farewell, sir. You know, our condolences to all his family and friends. So let's go ahead and wrap this bad boy up. We want to thank Mia Tedesco, who was fabulous as advertised. We thought she would be. And social media princess. She was tearing it up out there, making me look bad, promoting my own show. Great job, Mia. Thank you for coming on. John Bachelman, of course. Danny White, back at the draglist.com Super Crew World Headquarters. Jeff and Dustin Gilder. Barb Santucci, promoter extraordinaire. And Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer, making everything happen from Wisconsin to Points West. Folks, have a great week. We'll see you next Monday night right here on Racers Reunion Radio. Adios, everybody. The water gods carried us away.